charge of the family, and his brother betrays him and almost has a hit put out on him. And it's a big celebration. There's a daughter's a wedding, and he's out there on the dance floor, and he goes up to his brother, and he grabs him, and he says, "It was you, Fredo." And he kissed him, and he said, "You broke my heart. You broke my heart." And the next scene is, you know, Fredo's out on a boat with his buddy. Pop, you know, then he goes into the water. And I'm not Italian, but I would really like to be. Growing up, I grew up in a community that was primarily Hispanic and white. That part of Texas, I guess we couldn't get any colors to come down to that area, but so it was just basically the two of us. And my Hispanic friends had this loyalty thing within their families that I didn't get. Because I don't know what it is about white guys, but they'll just turn on each other like flies. It doesn't matter. No, he did it. No, he was the guy. I can get four more witnesses. We'll take care of it. But my best friend growing up was Johnny Sepulveda. And eventually, I had another friend named Logio. And I'm telling you, if you got in a fight with anybody within a 100-mile radius of their family, it's like, okay, cousins are showing up, uncles are showing up, maybe a mom or two, and I'm like, I can't pick a fight with any of you guys because your whole family's going to show up. And they're like, I'm sorry. You know, you can make fun of, you can make fun of yourself, we can make fun of my cousin, but you can't make fun of my cousin. You know, that was the whole thing. And I really, really like that about a culture. It's, and I think for the church, a little loyalty will go a long way with each other. That there's a sense of loyalty with us. That we will put our brothers and sisters first before the rest of the world. And we will give them that advantage and that respect and that loyalty that is needed to survive and thrive as a culture. But our primary loyalty, my friends, real loyalty, belongs to God. We live in a world that makes fun of God. We live in a world that mocks Christianity. We live in a world that betrays every principle that God has placed in this earth, and they flaunt it before His face and before our eyes. And yet we rub shoulders with it so much, we become so comfortable with the world's disrespect for the living God that we just sort of say this is just the way that it is. And when that happens inside of you, that loyalty and that deep love and that relationship and that friendship that God has given you with Himself begins to die and begins to wane. Here's an example. What if you hung around a group of guys that just subtly always made jokes about your wife? Look at the other guys in here already shaking their heads. Uh-uh. No. Now, she may do her hair a little funny, but you ain't mention it, you know? But imagine, listen, those of you who are married, you hang around a group of guys that just, they start making fun of your wife all the time. They always have a joke about her, or they always have some slamming comment or some inappropriate statement about her or her figure or her character or who she is. How many of you guys will hang out with those guys? We're done. I'm over with. You're done. You're out of my life. I have nothing to do with you. You're out. You're out. You're dead to me. You know. Now, when it comes to God, we're like, well, that's just the world. And I'm not calling for separatism. We're told by the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit to be in the world, but not of it. God has called us to be salt and light. We're completely different. We are strategic plants of the living God within the culture to bring life, to preserve life, to be light, to guide people to heaven. I mean, we were watching a little video last night after things were going on. It was called Obsession. It was talking about radical Islam. And I saw all of these guys, and it kind of looked like this group of guys here, except for, you know, you didn't have bandanas and saying death to anybody, you know. If we were going to stand up and chant anything, it's like life, life, life. But God has strategically planted us within our culture in unique places that's very, very critical. And it's critical for you and I, as He has done so, to keep our main loyalty to Him and Him primarily alone. I believe personally, gentlemen, that there has to be such loyalty in us with God that we will be willing to walk away from anything or anyone if it will somehow disrespect our relationship or impinge on our relationship with Him. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When He had called the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when He comes in His glory of His Father and with the holy angels. It doesn't get any more real than that. The real, Lord, please don't, there's no disrespect here. The real Father God, the real Godfather, the real God Himself, the real Father of all, requires of us a level of loyalty. And that's not bad. This is not like to say to you, man, I'm thinking of all the things I've been disloyal to God about. No, this is exciting. Men are made for loyalty. Men, I told my wife when we first got married, and I said, you probably don't know much about men. You had four sisters, you know, and you see the world through the lens of women. But I said, I'm real simple. I said, I'm just like the old dog that sleeps on the front porch. As long as you feed him, pat him on the head, and say good boy every once in a while, I said, I'll stay on the front porch, you know. I really did say that. I was young. I don't know how I came up with that, but it was like... If you take care of that, I'm fine. You know? And men are pretty simple. But, you know, the one thing about dogs is that they typically attach themselves to one main personality. We have a little wire hair fox terrier that was completely bamboozled, ripped off. I mean, I was taken over by my family when we got this dog because I had a no dog policy for years. It was awesome. I mean, there was no little cigars in the yard or, you know. None of that stuff. It was just awesome, you know. As far as they ever got, you know, they had a little tree frog, you know, which was great. And then finally, they broke me down and got guinea pigs. That's a big mistake. If you like the smell of urine and aspen chunks, you know, it's really good. It's a great animal. Anyway, but it's nice to leave in the yard if you like BB gun practice. But that's another story. So, you know, they call me, they're out in Bosque Farms. I'm at the house, and they're like, Dad. And I said, where are you guys? Where's the whole family? We're in Bosque Farms. What do you do in Bosque Farms? You know, well, we found a dog out here. Put your mother on the phone. Dave, I know, remember that one time when it was really kind of cold outside and it was warm and our hearts and we were talking about dogs and you said that we could have a dog. And I said, what? You know, just this whole crazy, you know, I felt the woman voodoo getting me and I'm like, oh, you know. What? Yes, you did. You know you did. You did say that, and I know. And you don't always remember what you say. You know, men think that they control the world. Guess who they send to war? Guess who controls the world, man? It's the women. Anyway, that's a completely other story. That's a different retreat. Now, so they get this dog. And it's I talked to Steve Stucker, who's like the dog whisperer of the Southwest. He really is. He can walk up to him, you know, anyway. He says, that is the most hyperactive breed of dog that you could ever get. So we get it in the house. And every week, it's right on the edge. I'm going to roast it. I'm going to throw it over into the neighbor's yard with a note that says, please keep it. I'll give you $20 a week or whatever, you know. And finally, but the dog attached itself to the whole family. It's been over a year and a half. It loves me. He respects me because I'm telling you what, I dropped the hammer on that boy. He does not, there's no messing around. But he attached himself primarily to mom. And he follows her like a little lamb wherever she goes, and just whatever she's doing. The only time he comes around for me is he knows when I come into the kitchen, it's like, all right, the fat dude's about to eat. Let's go, you know. He's always like, you and I are friends. And I'll be sitting in a chair, and he'll get up there, you know, like right on the edge of my leg. And like, remember how we were best friends in that time? Like, yeah, go hang out with your mother, you know. But dogs are loyal. Loyal. Anybody comes into the house, he barks. Anybody tries to mess with mom, even one of the kids, if they try to wrestle mom a little bit, their leg is being chewed at that moment. And us as men, we're made to be loyal. We love loyalty. It warms our heart to be loyal. And when men are loyal to us, we'll do anything for them. And I want to just wrap this up with this, guys. I want to make a statement for us as we go throughout this year. We need to be men who are loyal to Jesus Christ. When someone makes a comment around you about God, you need to challenge them on it. And you need to put them in their place. And you say, wait a minute, that's kind of tough. I'm sorry. You can't just go around talking about God like that. You need to qualify your statements. When you stop people in their tracks, you know what happens? They freak out. Like someone will say some derogatory statement. Or my favorite, when I used to work in construction, is guys would use the Lord's name in vain. And I'd say, are you praying? What do you mean? Well, you're using God. And as well, I'm not praying. I said, then what are you doing? You're using damn in connection with God. How are you a superhero? What do you mean? I said, aren't you afraid God's going to kill you for talking like that? What gives you the right to say that about him? You don't even know him. You don't even worship him. And they, you know, they're sort of like, oh, a little bit kind of freaked out. But who cares? In the end, he says, if you're ashamed of me and this wicked and perverse generation, I'm forced to be ashamed of you. Because I'm willing to put my whole everything on the line to save you, to forgive you, to be loyal to you, to have your back, to care for you, to take you from point A all the way into heaven to live with me. And if you're ashamed of me, something's wrong, bro, and your relationship is off and your loyalties are off. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm just saying this to fire you up, bro, that this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to be loyal to Christ. And we're going to love him. And we're not going to chew people's legs. You know, we're not going to come back next year with bandanas and we're chanting, you know, and we're going to have a jihad or whatever it's called, a Christian jihad. I'm not promoting that at all. But we are loyal to him. Can you guys say amen to that?
Amen.
Are you willing to commit to being loyal to Jesus Christ this year? I know you are. That's your heart. That's who you are. Guys, I'm really thankful to be a part of this ministry. I think this ministry has saved my life. Really has. Knowing you, knowing you, seeing you every year, God allowing us to create an environment where we can be real and we can talk about who we really are and who he really is and really love him in the midst of this. I thank you for the privilege of becoming a part of this ministry. And I just pray that, you know, that God puts it in our heart this year to bring more with us. That hell is so disappointed. That the devil is so upset at what God's doing in our lives. And what we're doing with our friends and calling them to Christ and bringing them in and teaching them loyalty. All the little things that we taught this weekend are very simple, aren't they? Very simple. And if you take a young guy or you take somebody around you or and you begin to say, listen, man, here's the focus of your life. You can help change another guy's life. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to be obedient to the Lord. And I know you can do it. You're light bearers. Well, I'm going to pray, and we're going to agree together that we will. But let's just agree together that we're going to be loyal to the Lord. And also, remember we read last night from Jesus? You are my friends if you obey my commandments. What's his commandment? Love each other. So that means we got to be loyal to each other here too. No fighting in the camp. Fighting outside the camp. Father, just lift your hands to the Lord and let's just lift our hands to him in submission to him and acceptance and agreement with one another as to what we're going to commit to. Lord, we commit ourselves to you as brothers, as friends, as family members. And Lord, we thank you for being loyal to us. And we bow before you. We raise our hands to you in submission as the true, one, living God. And we love you deeply. And we're so grateful for what you've done. And Lord, right now, at moments like this, we're ashamed of times that we can think of that we haven't been loyal to you. But Lord, from this point on, we commit ourselves to be loyal to you publicly, loyal to you privately in our lives, loyal to you with our families and our relationships. But Lord, the job is much bigger than we are. All the things that we read about, all the great men, Lord, they're bigger than us. So Lord, we look to the God of heaven. And just like the loaves and the fishes that you broke and you multiplied, Lord, we pray you break us. You multiply our lives for your kingdom, for your name, and for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. All right. Communion board, come forward. This is the time we're going to have communion together. We'll pass out communion. You got a little cup and a wafer. And then they'll come back up and we'll take it together.
I am persuaded nothing that I know can keep me from your will. I am persuaded of your love for me. Every night I long to hear your gentle voice, and in the morning when I rise, I wait for you and make a choice. I am persuaded from your will. I am persuaded of your love for me. I am persuaded nothing that I know. Every night I close my eyes. I long to hear your gentle voice. And in the morning, when I rise, I wait for you to make a choice. Oh, oh. I am persuaded nothing that I know can keep me from your will.
And King. And he gave us such an example. Visual picture. Not only what he's done for us, but the visual picture of a real man, of a way that God wants a man to be. He broke his own body for our sakes, people that didn't deserve it. And he shed his blood on behalf of people that he loved. That's all that we really understand about love. It comes from that particular example. That example right there does it for us. That's the pinnacle. And so, Jesus, as we take this bread, we thank you as our great God and King that you did this for us. And we as men just are beginning to understand your sacrifice. But we're grateful, we're thankful, and we worship you because of this, and we declare you as our King. Thank you for breaking your body for us. Let's take the bread. Lord, you said at the supper, after supper, you drank the cup, and you said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Right now, Lord, we take this cup in remembrance of your sacrifice, and we can barely imagine, really, all that you've done, but we're grateful, and we're very thankful, and we praise you. And we worship you. And we do this, Lord, in a commitment to you, to love you, and to love our brothers. In Jesus' name. Here's the final challenge, and I think we're done. Do we have any more announcements, Justin? Okay. Justin, we see these little communion cups. They're pretty cool. I think what we may do is get they're going to send the trash bags soon. You make sure you don't leave them on the floor. But here's a thing. We may make these available through the men's ministry, and maybe on our website, or you could stop by the church and pick some up for a few bucks. We'll just pay for the cost of them. And this is something I've been doing with friends and with my family lately. Is I'll take communion with a buddy or two. Do it at lunch, call a friend over and say, hey, you want to take communion together? Blow your mind. It will blow your mind. We've been doing it at my house and my kids. We don't have these. We always forget and have apple cider and cornbread or something. But Sunday evenings at my house, I take communion with my family. And we just read the story of Jesus and his sacrifice for us. One of the kids says a prayer, and we pray together and we thank God together for what he's done. This doesn't have to be done with a preacher at a service like this. We do it as often as we gather in his name. We can do this. And I would suggest you taking communion with your family and taking communion with your friends. It'll probably be a new practice in your life. Men, God bless you. Go in God's grace. You're awesome.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. The Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. That you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. Let's honor you this year, Father.
All right, have a seat. As I look around the room and I see you guys have communion, you know, my eyes always glaze toward the younger guys. Raise your hand if you're 17 years old or younger. You guys are the real studs. You guys are the ones that are going to take this message. This weekend, you became young men, men in the Lord. And you will be supernaturally equipped to do amazing.